Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The death of a loved one is one of the hardest things for people to go through. But for expecting parents, the loss of an unborn child through miscarriage brings with it the pain of loss and also dozens of other tough emotions.
It is also, for many people, a harder loss to talk about than some others. A Milwaukee woman is working not to make the loss easy, per se, but to allow women what could be an easier way to work through their grief. Megan Schultz is a Milwaukee writer who also holds a counseling degree. She's the creator of a 21-stage e-course on dealing with loss from miscarriage, and she joins us now to talk more about it. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Why was it so important for you to do this work?
I guess it kind of started earlier this year for me. Back in February, I had my 7th miscarriage, and I decided that it was just time to start talking about it and stop keeping it inside. Because for the previous ones, I'd had all these different emotions, with each one a different emotion, but I kind of just kept it to myself. And I decided, after starting a blog earlier this year, that I would write about it. And I was just shocked by the outpouring of support that I got after I wrote this. And it really made me realize that people wanted to talk about it. I had friends come out of the woodwork that I had no idea who had a miscarriage. Or if it wasn't my friend, it was my friend's sister or their neighbor or their aunt or their mother. And everybody wanted to talk about these stories. And so, you know, initially my thought process was, I'm going to have a day retreat at my house. And so I organized a day where I would invite women over and we would talk about our experiences and kind of work through our grief and our processing. And I had, as soon as I put that post out on my blog, I got a lot of interest. I had women from Racine contacting me, from Kenosha. I had a woman all the way up in Minneapolis wanting to come down for it.
Like, I have to buy a bigger house.
Right, exactly. I was thinking, yikes, I don't know if I'm going to be able to have all these women. So, but in the end, I had about 8 women sign up for it. The week of the retreat, about, 6 of them canceled, and only 2 of them ended up showing up on the day of the retreat, which actually worked out superbly. We had a fabulous day, and had all 8 women shown up, I don't know how we would have had time to talk about all our stories. But what that kind of showed me is that it's, you know, it's hard for women to talk about this stuff. People want to talk about it, but even sharing it, you know, among a small group of 8 is hard. And so
One thing to do it virtually and express interest virtually, but the personal contact.
Exactly, when it comes down to it. And so I kind of started thinking over the summer, you know, how could I do this? How could I create something, a space for women to process this grief that would maybe feel safer or be safer for them if they didn't feel comfortable doing it in person? And so the idea for this e-course came up. Because I had been taking a few e-courses myself, and I just like the platform and like the way of getting that information. And so I just started thinking about, what are the different things that we go through when we have a miscarriage? What are the different aspects of grief that we need to work through? And it worked out that I came up with 21 different concepts or ideas around this grief. And so I created this 21-day e-course so that women can go through this personally and hopefully find some time each day to do some reflection, to do some processing, and hopefully by the end some healing. You know, I mean, not that there's ever a time frame for grief, or that there's a starting time and a stopping time, and after 21 days you'll be good to go. You know, that's not
well, right.
At all.
I wonder if that's one of the misconceptions here, is that the idea that there is ever actually, you know, closure, quote unquote.
Exactly. Yeah, and I don't think there is. There are people who, you know, I'm on a lot of miscarriage boards and chat rooms on Facebook and things like that, and so many women are talking about, you know, this is the anniversary of my miscarriage. Do other people remember their anniversaries? Because I do, and I'm having a hard time. And you know, so yeah, I absolutely think there's no end per se to the grief that comes with a miscarriage.
You say, you've had 7 miscarriages, and it was not until this 7th one that you took this next step. Do you think was there a cost to yourself from not being able to process it in this particular, maybe constructive way the first 6 times?
Oh, absolutely. I think You know, I talked a little bit about the different emotions that come with each one, and I think it started off with blame and the shame of what's wrong with me and what's wrong with my body, and then came the anxiety of, am I ever going to be able to do this? And then, am I disappointing my husband? Am I letting him down? And then feeling like, well, maybe I should stop telling people because every time I tell somebody, then it happens. So maybe I'm jinxing it, and that whole, you know, that kind of train of thought. And then, you know, there was one of my miscarriages was an ectopic pregnancy. And so I lost a fallopian tube. And so there's part of me that, you know, is feeling like less of a woman because I'm missing one tube. And is that going to make it harder? And you know, another one came at 12 weeks, and the baby, had it survived, would have had a syndrome that would have been a really difficult life. And there was a part of me that was, you know, confused because I was feeling a little bit, well, should I be, is it okay that this happened? And then feeling guilty about feeling like that. So just so many emotions that come with a miscarriage and so many different emotions that absolutely, I think had I been able to process this earlier and had I dealt with those feelings instead of stuffing them inside, I think it would have been a lot more helpful for me personally.
And I gather there's really, I mean, one of the things that you're doing here is you've created something that it would have been great to have had yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I say. I wish I'd had something like this to help me process it. So I didn't know that or I didn't think that it was my fault and that I didn't feel so alone. Because I think that's one of the things we do in this society is, you know, we don't really talk about our pregnancies until we're in that safe zone of, you know, whatever that means. We've heard the heartbeat or we're past 12 weeks or whatever it is. And so oftentimes miscarriages happen. I mean, I think 75% of them are in the first trimester. So a lot of them will happen before we've talked to people about them. So we've not really anyone to tell that it's happened.
And it's hard to talk about loss if people didn't know what was already going on.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think we're kind of shrouded in secrecy and therefore it's harder to talk about.
And so talk about the process of developing the e-course because, as you say, you sort of brainstormed, you know, 21 individual points or days or stages.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from doing your own brainstorming, what went into developing the course?
You know, I started doing my own research online. And that and I don't know why I hadn't thought to do that before. But I didn't realize there was such a community out there for us, for women who've experienced miscarriage. And one of the names that kept popping up in almost all the research was Dr. Jessica Zucker, who's a psychologist out in L.A. And so I thought it'd be great to have the perspective of somebody in the, you know, in the therapeutic part of the world. And so I just sent her an email and said, would you be interested in an interview? And she wrote back and said yes. And so on day four, I have an interview with her where we go back and forth talking about just what that's like because she got into the – not only is this what she does, she works with women who have suffered loss or miscarriage and those kinds of issues. But she herself had a miscarriage and wrote very publicly about it in the New York Times. So we had a really nice conversation, both professional and personal point of view.
You know, I had sort of, you know, again, you know, studied things so philosophically or theoretically. I thought I understood. But until I was really in the position of losing something that was growing inside of my body, you know, I really couldn't relate in the way that I now can.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of the research out there, or the recent research anyway, you know, unfortunately points to the fact that women turn to self-blame, shame, and experience feelings of guilt after pregnancy loss.
Mm-hmm.
And this concerned me, you know, and it always did. But, you know, until I went through it myself, it didn't concern me in the same way that it, you know, did subsequently.
Sure. So that was one thing I did. Another part that I did is guided meditation, because I think a lot of the miscarriage experience for women is kind of disappointment in the body and frustration and anger with our own bodies. So I have a meditation that guides women through kind of some body forgiveness. And then a lot of it came from talking with other women. You know, like I said, once I put my story out there, people started talking. And so hearing from other women the kinds of things that friends had said or done that were hurtful or not done that was equally as hurtful. Sometimes the silence after miscarriage can hurt as well.
Well, and for as little that might have been out there for women who have suffered the loss of miscarriage, it would seem that there's probably even less out there for people who would support those women, the friends and family and other loved ones of a woman who's gone through a miscarriage. How did you approach that issue?
Yeah, it's really difficult. And that was one of the things that after I posted, a lot of people reached out and said, thanks for posting this because I didn't know what to say. Or it came out and asked me what they should say. And I actually wrote a piece. I'm a contributor to the Milwaukee Moms blog. And my latest piece was about helping a friend through a miscarriage and kind of it actually was more of what not to do, you know. Please don't say stay silent was one of them because, you know, people feel awkward after a miscarriage. They don't know what to say. They don't know if bringing it up is going to make you cry or make you feel worse. So a lot of people just stay silent. And that silence speaks volumes to us. You know, it maybe has me asking, well, does this not deserve? Do I not deserve to grieve about this? Or, you know, is there something wrong with me and so I shouldn't bring it up? And like you said, well-meaning, well-intentioned, I think a lot of friends are and say things that, you know, they think come from the best place, but perhaps aren't received that way. So saying things like, it must be in God's plan or it must have happened for a reason or at least you're young and you know you can get pregnant, you know, all of those things trying to make us feel better, which, you know, on the one level I understand, but on the other hand can feel very like a dagger almost when you're on the receiving end of it. So, you know, I think one of the things I encourage is just to sit with us and let us know you're here and you're sorry and, you know, that you would like to do something but you don't know what to do. So let me know of what I can do, you know, and to ask that question. So
this is something, you know, they're going into counseling or therapy or what have you. For some women and some men is a huge step, and I wonder if this is an easier step for many people to take.
I think so. I mean, I hope so. Maybe more of a gentle introduction to just some of the concepts that you probably could get to with therapy, but maybe something like this would be enough just to have that personal time. I mean, in my head, I envision women get the email in the morning, they click through into the course, and you know, if they can spend 20 minutes to a half an hour journaling. I have a lot of activities where we're writing, either writing reflective pieces for ourselves or writing letters to our partners or friends. Not that we necessarily give them per se, but just to kind of get it out and get those emotions expressed. I have some of the other side of the brain's activity. So we've got some drawing in there. We've got, like I said, the guided meditation. Some vision and mantra board building and that kind of thing. So, you know, I think it could be kind of along the lines of what you would do in therapy, perhaps. Yeah.
If not for that idea of closure, what do you hope women who go through this e-course come out of it with?
I think honestly, Mitch, what I'm hoping for is that they feel more comfortable talking about it. That they feel and they understand that they're not alone and that it's okay to grieve. I mean, I call it an invitation to grieve because I think our society doesn't always give us that. And one of the very first days, the lesson is just permission to grieve because we have it. And not that I am the one that needs to be giving it to participants, but I hope that they feel that they can give it to themselves, that they're allowed to grieve, that no matter if it was a 5-week miscarriage, if it was a 12-week miscarriage, or, you know, even later, that there's no hierarchy of grief and that they're allowed to have that and process that.
Well, Megan Schultz, thank you so much for sharing this story with us, and best of luck with your work.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Megan Schultz is the creator of an electronic course on working through grief from miscarriage called An Invitation to Grief. You'll find a link to it and more that Schultz has written on the subject from WUWM.com.